I'm not quite as tall as the deacon. I had to adjust this thing. My name is Father Chet, and there's actually a last name that goes with it, but we tried to spare people. It's Artyshev. It's a Polish name. I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak to you today. You heard this is the Mission Co-op Sunday. Sometimes we think, another second collection. Well, we do have to support the missions, but there's an important thing that leads up to that. Now, these are not my words. They happen to be the words of Jesus, so they carry more weight, right? And these are his words. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, that's why we have missionary work. Thanks be to God. We had missionaries coming to the United States years ago to help establish the church and plant the faith here. So that's really the foundation of what we do. It's our commitment as believers to share the faith, not only to clutch it tightly, but to share it as well. Today, in this gospel story, and the first reading as well, we hear a very nice backdrop for missionary activity. Now, you might have noticed that the reading from the gospel was not where from St. Mark, like it has been and will be throughout this cycle. If you heard him, he said, a gospel reading according to St. John. This is the sixth chapter of John, and because Mark's gospel is so short, you're going to hear this for 5 weeks, the Bread of Life discourse leading up to the Eucharist, which is, of course, something central and critical to what missioners do. Did you notice the difference? So there was a multiplication of loaves in the Old Testament reading. But just to point out how Jesus surpasses the Old Testament, he had 1/4 the resources that Elijah had, and he did 50 times greater. 1/4 the resources fed 50 times as many people. The point being, with our Lord Jesus, there is abundance. And that really is, as I said, a wonderful backdrop, because I think missionaries go to meet the people, to feed the hungers, the hunger for hope, the hunger for meaning. When it's all said and done, what's important for eternity? And so we bring the message of the church, and I'm convinced that missionaries fundamentally do the same thing in different locations, the same basic things. You try to nurture the faith of the Catholic community that's there. You strive to invite those that have no faith, to invite them into yours, to share in the blessings of the church, the sacraments, the teachings, the history. You also try to break down the sins of division, as Jesus prayed, Father, might they all might be one. And lastly, you try to help the poor. And in so many missionary areas, that is such a critical, critical need. So wherever missionaries go, those are sort of the same dynamics. So let me tell you what the Glenmary missionaries do. We have a bit of a unique ministry. I would say we're the only group that does this particular thing. Picture, if you will, a country of some size. 1/3 the size of the United States of America. You all know that, okay? We got a pretty good idea. 1/3, slice off 1/3 of this. There's no Catholic Church. This is a region bigger than a bunch of countries in Europe put together. But there's no church, no mass. So if you wanted to receive the Lord on Sunday, you couldn't. It's not there. Well, I'll go to the vigil. No, there's no vigil mass. Is there one down the road? No, there's not one down the road. The church doesn't exist. Well, the founder of my group said, this country needs a religious order whose focus is to address the missionary needs of that country, because nobody else seems to be paying attention to it. I guess I should tell you the name of the country, though, huh? Our official name is the Glenmary Home Missioners, because we are missionaries to the areas of the United States where the Catholic Church does not exist. Back in the 1930s, Father William Howard Bishop was a priest in rural Maryland, and he knew that the rural areas of the church were not well served by the Catholic Church. What he did was take a map of the U.S., And here's where I get that one third. There are over 3,000 counties in the United States. 1,022 had no Catholic church or presence. 1,022 in the 1930s. That's like one third of our country. So for every county that didn't have a priest, he would darken it on this huge map. And he held up the map and he said, "This is Mission Land, USA. This is No Priest Land, USA." Now, Father Bishop said, "I'm thrilled that there are missionaries going to Africa and Asia and Latin America, but should not there be at least one religious order whose sole purpose, their total work, is the U.S. missions?" That was his dream. Glen Mary is the reality. We were a group of priests, brothers, and sisters founded in 1939. And we came to an area you might be familiar with. It's called Cincinnati, Ohio. And we actually got our name thanks to Archbishop McNicholas. We settled in some farmland in Glendale, and Archbishop McNicholas said, "Glendale, Glendale, maybe you ought to call yourselves the Glen Mary Missionaries." And it stuck. We're just up the road a little bit in Fairfield now. I'm glad we didn't start there. Fair Mary Missionaries doesn't sound quite as good. We're the Fair Mary, Glen Mary, that's got a little more zip to it and pop. Where do we work? The areas where the church is not present. We would go into an area where the Catholic population is always less than 1%. The level of poverty would be 2 to 3 times higher. And there's no Catholic presence. These areas would be what we would call the Bible Belt, Appalachia, and the Deep South. Huh? We would go into an area, first thing we might try to do is identify, are there any Catholics here who are not being served or who have to travel great distances? There is an equation. The farther you have to go for Mass, only the hardy really survive when it gets that far. One of my parishes down in Georgia, this longtime parishioner told me, "When I first came here, it took me 5 hours to go to Mass on Sunday. There was only one train that came through town, and it would take me to Bay Branch, where there would be the Mass, and I would do the Mass, and I'd wait and take the train back. It was about 5 hours every Sunday." I call that dedication. Now, imagine her joy when she heard we're going to build a church in your area. You don't have to take that five-hour trek every Sunday. Can you imagine our joy to see somebody with that great of faith, ready and willing to receive us? Huh? She played the music for that church for 40 years. The first Mass oftentimes is in somebody's home. It might even be in the tavern. It might be in a social hall for a civic club. One of our men, who is actually a native of Dayton, his first Mass down in Tennessee. It was very simple, but in addition to a table for the altar in here, he had a gigantic elk's head over his shoulder, but it was the Elks Club, so I guess that was natural. But it came complete with all the smells from the night before where they had the parties and the dances and things. So, happy to tell you, they're in their own little building now. They're paying it off, but it's theirs. And the money's going toward their mortgage and not just a rent that's going away. Step by step by step. So I said, Glimmering, when we go to an area, we do what missionaries do. Try to gather those people to provide what the church has for them. To invite those that don't have any. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are a huge number of population of our own Catholic Church that aren't quite so active. We used to say that 40% of our U.S. population is unclaimed, no official affiliation with anybody. I suspect in these days of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, that number is actually growing. We have something great to offer. Now, I mentioned that we go to the Bible Belt, right? It's not that Jesus isn't there. I mean, there are churches everywhere, and they love the Lord, and they preach the gospel, and they try to do the right thing. But as Jesus opens up for us this multiplication of loaves, as we're going to hear about, I am the bread of life, they're missing that. So all other things aside, we have a tremendous thing to offer just in the presence of the Eucharist. There are about three things to remember about Glen Mary. I used to say two, but since I'm here, I'm going to say three. First thing is that Glenn Mary's whole work is in the United States. This is all we do, and that's what makes us a little bit unique. Other groups, of course, work in the U.S., but this is our total focus. The second thing to remember is that we don't stay. Once a mission is built up and is strong, can function on its own, we give it back to the diocese and take on another mission. Of the 122 that we've returned, 108 of our parishes are still going very well. I spoke to the Bishop of Tyler, Texas, the other day just to confirm this, and he said, yes, your parish of Mount Pleasant is the second largest parish in our diocese now. They all don't grow quite like that, but that was great news. You know, some churches always be Dominican or Franciscan or Jesuit. Well, they won't always be Glen Marion, because our work is with the small areas to build them up and pass them on. Oh, and the third thing to remember about us, I thought of this last night. We're your hometown missionaries. We are your hometown missionaries, born and founded here in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. Now, I brought you some things. You know, I could talk a lot longer. You could see me outside. But at all the exits, I've placed some materials for you. And I hope you'll avail yourselves of them. We have prayer cards. So I would ask you, of course, to pray for us and our mission and our work. We have volunteer programs. Come and see if you might be a young person that's interested in finding out what our work is. I brought you these magazines. Now, I have it on good authority. You will not find these at Walmart or Target. You got to get them here, okay? So when you leave, make sure you get a copy of the magazine and read all about the work of the Glen Mary Missioners, okay? Thank you for your generosity today. I think you'll be able to identify with this. I, as an individual, receive every year over 1,000 pieces of mail asking for a donation. Now, if we were down in the evangelical church, everybody would say, amen, brother, right? You can't do it all. You can't do it all. I always encourage people, find something that you want to support and focus on that. Nobody can support everything. If Glen Mary happens to be something you want to continue to support, thank you. Okay, but I understand your situation. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your prayers. I leave you with this thought. Here you are on a Sunday morning, kind of early. You could be doing other things. You could be sleeping in, but you're not. You're here. It says to me that you think this is worthwhile. So if this is a faith worth having, it's a faith worth sharing. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you.